live from the Quad Cities with Morgan Otier and Kyle Keel. This is Quad Cities Live.
Baseball is back, and the Quad Cities River Bandits are home for the weekend, playing at our very own Modern Woodman Park. How the team is showing its appreciation for its fans. Niabe Zoo is about ready to open for the season. We have details on Niabe's conservation speaker series and how you can see a new exhibit before anyone else. Plus, if you're looking for a little inspiration to get active, look no further than East Moline's Matt Jackson. This Ironman winner is taking his talents to the World Championship, and we can help get him there. Thanks for watching Quad Cities Live on this Friday, April 19th. I'm Morgan OTA, and we're going to catch up with my co-host Kyle Keel in just a few minutes. No worries. This Saturday, you're invited to go furniture shopping at Urbantique QC, located in Walcott, Iowa. Owner and artist Diana Gasper is here now. Diana, welcome back.
Thank you, Morgan.
Welcome back, and thank you so much because you outfitted us for today.
You did.
In our kitchen, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. We got whole new furniture in here for about an hour, and we're very excited about that. But first, tell everybody about your shop, Urbantique QC.
Okay, so I've been in business about 15 years refinishing furniture, and I've done everything from a table set from the 1920s up to the 90s. I stopped at the 90s because after that, furniture isn't made quality.
Okay.
Yes. So the problems in the stores currently, and I hear it all the time, tables are not wood anymore.
Right.
They're particle board. So that's why I do what I do. I try to save all the old good stuff and then make it last another generation.
That's amazing. And you are so right. We were talking about this before the show started. My mother helped me. She refinished a dining room table for me last summer. And that was her big concern. She was like, if this is new enough, it's not going to be a real wood. I won't be able to strip it. So we'll get into all of that. So talk about where you work, the space that you work in, and store all this furniture.
Fantastic. Yes. So I got lucky enough 4 years ago. I was able to buy 6 acres out in Walcott.
Good for you.
And it has and had a 60 by 40 foot pole building. So I have 75% of that pole building is a storefront, and 25% is a shop area, which always should have been bigger. You know, you always need more space.
Yes.
Sometimes I work 6 to 10 dining room tables at a time. Just depends on
what you're doing.
Inventory, people contacting me. I have people come from 5 hours away. It's a dying art.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get a lot of people. 90% of what I redo for others is golden oak. In the 90s.
Yes.
But the tables are solid, so they want to redo them and have them updated, and that's what I do.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, so the table that we're sitting at right now and the chairs that we are sitting in right now, you have refinished.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yes.
So tell me about the table itself and kind of the process to make it look like this.
Okay, so it's multi. So the first thing I do, the bases get painted first.
Okay.
So you
have to sand all of that down?
Sand it down and do all the prep and then the painting and then the distressing and then the clear coat.
Wow.
So that's just the base. And then the top of the table, usually I try not to use stripper unless it's a high gloss finish.
Okay.
I usually scrape a top, sand a top with 5 different kinds of sandpaper.
Wow.
Maybe more. And then it depends on if it gets stained. This is an all natural, so I just left it natural and put poly on it.
It's beautiful.
It's got 4 coats of polyurethane, sanding in between, 24 hour dry.
Yep.
In between each coat.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen this in action, and I can't get over the fact that, I mean, there is so much intensive work that goes into it, and you talked about the different sanders that you use.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because you kind of don't know how the table or the wood is necessarily going to react.
Well, everybody's like, you should be an expert by now, and I'm like, really? Every single table is different. Every single one.
It's very cool. It's absolutely beautiful. Is this sold yet?
Not yet.
I can't. It will be.
And it's not the biggest. It has 2 leaves to go in it, too, so it can actually, I think it extends to 102 inches.
So this is like a 10-person.
Yes.
This is what you want for Thanksgiving.
The farmhouse
to host
table.
The farmhouse table. It's incredible. The chairs, too. Tell me a little bit about when clients come to you, because you can actually customize projects for them. I saw Ashley Marshall got her table done by you. She comes on all the time with the barn, the red barn. Take us through that process, and really how long from start to finish someone can expect.
So it depends. Right now I had a table dropped off. It was a great grandparent set, and we're rebuilding the table itself, keeping it intact, but rebuilding the foundation, like the under part of the table so it stays together, that's gonna take a month. And we're leaving the legs. She likes all the chippy legs that were there.
Yes.
We have to put the tabletop back together. It's got so many cracks in it, and then I'll refinish it after all the repairs are done.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. Okay, so I think we're gonna take a look at the buffet table that
I know,
you brought.
It matches.
Yeah, it matches with the dining room table, so they come as a pair, folks, okay? No, they really should, though. So this is something that you did. Like, when was this originally from, with all those tiny little drawers?
That's the 1980s. It's
80s.
Ethan Allen 80s.
Yep. Ethan Allen.
Yes, I know. I love finding their tables. I'm always on the hunt for unique pieces. This table has like turned legs underneath of it. And then I've got farmhouse tables. I've got trestle tables. My favorite tables to redo, which is kind of crazy, are 1970s tables.
Really?
They're like skinny legged, they're all
right
mud
now.
Brown
yeah.
when I get them, and then you sand them off, and the wood underneath them is amazing.
Okay,
it's crazy.
If you want to see all of her tables, her favorites, whatever, you can see them all this weekend at Urban Teak QC.
Yeah,
because you are actually inviting the public into
my house or my property.
Your property, so that they can peruse literally everything you have. And from what it sounds like, it's a ton of stuff.
It's a lot. I had to open up a second barn for a second showroom because I have so many pieces that are finished.
That's great.
Yeah.
And the reason why she's doing it is because you go to these different shows and folks see what you post on social media and on Facebook, and they're like, is this still available?
It's still available. Do you have more? Do you have the, you know, can I come see? So yes, Saturday, 9 to 3.
Saturday is the day. Tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow.
It's already Friday. Okay, so let's put up the information for everybody. You can go furniture shopping at Urban Teak QC tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It is located off 80th Avenue in Walcott. We have the address there on your screen. Be sure to follow along on Facebook as well at facebook.com/UrbanTeakQC. That's where you're going to see all those items that you, you know, direct message and say is still available.
Yes.
Diana, thank you again so much.
Morgan.
This is beautiful. We really appreciate it. Well, still to come on Quad Cities Live, the River Bandits are back at the award-winning Modern Women Park this weekend, and our Kyle Keel will join us live after the break for the way the team is thanking its fans. And celebrating Earth Day with an up-close look at the work of a woodworking organization, we'll take you to Stella's Sawmill and get a preview of tomorrow's open house event.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
The Bandits are at home this weekend taking on the Peoria Chiefs, and there are a variety of reasons why you should head to Modern Women Park and see them play. Kyle Keel is joining us live from Modern Women right now. And Kyle, the fans, they will be feeling the love this weekend.
Yeah, they certainly will, Morgan. The goal is to fill the stands here with all the River Bandits fans this weekend to show appreciation for making Modern Woodman Park the number one, the best minor league ballpark here in America. And this is the second time that this has happened. And it's a very exciting time, as Dave Heller is going to tell me. He's joining me now. He, of course, is the owner of the River Bandits. And Dave, you know, we talked to you extensively during the time where you were in the top 20, the top 10. You're number one.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. I mean, it's great to win, of course, but it's really nice for the Quad Cities, for our region, to get this kind of recognition, because so many people here do so many cool and interesting things and often don't get the recognition from people on the coast. And I love that we're getting that here.
And, you know, we kind of mentioned when you were in the top 10 that when you won this 11 years ago in 2013, you didn't have all the amenities that you have today.
We didn't have any of them.
Yeah,
that's right. There was no Ferris wheel. There was no drop and twist, no carousel, none of that stuff.
All right. So it's important to note that right now the Ferris wheel, the carousel, they're not quite open yet. We're going to wait until we get to May, right?
We have opening day, and then we have opening May in the Quad Cities. And opening May is our first homestand in May. That starts Tuesday, May the 7th, and that's when all the rides will be open.
All right, we're going to talk about what's new this year on the amusement side of things, but let's talk about the appreciation you're showing. You're allowing fans to come enjoy River Bandits game for free this Sunday to celebrate Modern Woodman Park.
We are, and it's so exciting. We've partnered with Palmer Chiropractic Clinics, and we're opening the gates and letting everybody in for free. It's a wonderful way to say thank you to this great community, to thank you to all the people who've supported us over the years, and be able to say, come in, enjoy the River Bandits, enjoy a game, see how much fun it is, and it doesn't cost you a dime.
It's definitely an experience here at Modern Woodman Park, and it goes way beyond the baseball. So how can fans get their tickets?
Well, it's a free game, so there are no tickets.
Oh, there aren't any tickets.
Right, they just come to the game, and they come in.
Okay, so you can come in the day of and you could just get in for free.
You could come in the day of and get in for free.
Good to know. So the game is at 1 o'clock here on Sunday at Mount Woodman Park here in downtown Davenport, right along the Mississippi River, against the Peoria Chiefs. But ahead of the game, there's going to be a lot of activities.
So before the game starts, we have pregame player autographs where kids can come in. They can meet their favorite player. They can get a picture. They can get an autograph ball, an autograph bat. After the game, kids run the bases. It's a fun family day. The whole thing's going to be a blast.
All right, awesome. The River Bandits take on the Peoria Chiefs all weekend long, but this Sunday you can catch the game for free here at Modern Woodman Park in downtown Davenport. For all the information, you can go to their website. And again, that game starts at 1 o'clock here on Sunday. We're going to join Dave in the next half hour to talk about some of the newer things happening at Modern Woodman Park this season, so stay tuned for that.
I think what you wanted to say was the first place River Bandits.
The first place River Bandits. There you go. The first place River Bandits.
We won 7 in a row. And our pitching is unhittable. They're just great.
All right, come watch them win this weekend, everyone. Morgan, we'll send it back to you.
All right, Kyle, thank you. Tell Dave I said hi. He's just wonderful on the television, isn't he? All right, giving lumber new life. That is one way to celebrate Earth Day. And you can see how it's done at Milan's Stella Sawmill during an open house event this weekend. Angie DeVolder joins us from the sawmill, and Tyler David is with an organization called Quad Cities Woodturners. Welcome to both of you.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for being here. This event sounds super cool. I had no idea that this happened last year. There are so many people show up to learn and understand what it is that both of you do. So this is your opportunity. Angie, first, tell us about Stella Sawmill.
Yes, so we are a sawmill in Milan, Illinois. We have urban lumber that we sell. We sell slabs and dimensional lumber. All of our wood is salvaged, so we don't cut down trees, we don't buy trees. We work with municipalities, with business owners, homeowners. We collect their trees and we cut it into lumber that can go on to build furniture or turnings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's amazing. So that's what you would refer to as the urban lumber movement.
Correct.
Okay, so these aren't the folks that are going to, you know, that you can call and they're going to come and cut down that annoying tree for you or that tree that's, you know, kind of falling apart. They're the ones, though, that will come and take that wood and allow you to turn it into something really special.
Right, so we have a grapple truck that will come and pick it up and we take it back to our sawmill in Milan, and that's where we cut it, we kiln dry it, and then it's ready to go.
That's awesome. Well, tomorrow, you are hosting an Earth Day event, and you've invited the Quad City Woodturners to join. Tyler, that's where you come in. So tell us a little bit about that organization.
Yeah, so the Quad City Woodturners is a nonprofit organization. We have a full shop with all the lathes that people could use. And we like to go to different private events, such as Stella Sawmill, where we can kind of get wood turning more out there to the public and show them what we make. These are some examples of the things that I make here.
Yes. So these candle holders are beautiful. You made these?
Yeah. So these are some of my main products that I do.
And salt and pepper shakers. That's incredible. So you do this with, you called it a lathe?
Yeah. So it spins the wood and we shape it. And then I add color, which is kind of something different that we do onto it too.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It kind of reminds me of when, like, pottery almost. Mm-hmm. But with wood. At least I've never seen this in action, so I could be totally off the wall right now, but it definitely is an art.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is. And tomorrow at Stella Sawmill, we'll be doing the coloring on the wood as well, so it's pretty satisfying to watch the color go on, especially for kids. I started when I was 9 years old, so even young people can do it too.
That's fantastic. So do you see more and more people hearing about your organization and then wanting to learn, wanting to get involved?
Yeah, for sure. And especially we're getting some more young members, which is good because often wood turning is looked at as kind of a retirement hobby. Mm-hmm. But in the Quad Cities, the more events that we do like this, we see more people kind of coming in, and that's our hope.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
That's fabulous. And so talk a little bit, Angie, about what else is going to be happening at this Earth Day open house event.
Sure. So we will have our showroom is going to be open, so you can look at all of the lumber that we have. We have 4 lathes that they're bringing for this live demonstration.
Really?
So that will go all day long. We also have a knife maker, a local knife maker, Dean Hasselroth, that's going to be there. And he has his knife collection that is actually made from some of our wood. So
really incredible. This is a great opportunity, you know, to kind of spread the word too about a local business and what you guys do, because I think when people are, you know, searching for a service, it's not always easy to kind of figure out who to go to. Oftentimes you go to, like, you know, some of those more like those companies that are more on that national scale, yet we have this great, you know, source right here in Milan where you guys can help out. So talk about some of the different things that you guys do with the lumber that you get in. We're seeing some photos right now.
Sure, so we are primarily just a lumber source. We can definitely help people with mantles or putting them in contact with people who want to perhaps buy a table. Yeah, that's one of our woodworkers that does some really neat stuff. So there is all types of, we have slabs, we have cookies there. You can see those small round cookies, all types of things. So we see everything from hobbyists to cabinet builders to home builders that come in.
That's great.
And want to use local native woods.
Yeah, it's so great. So, and as far as the wood turners is concerned, Tyler, if people come and see tomorrow what you guys are doing, they think it's super cool, they want to get involved, can they do that, or do they need to have prior experience, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's easy. I mean, such as Stella Sawmill has a lot of wood, you can get into wood turning without large slabs of wood. You
can
use small pieces that they have, even scraps or offcuts. So the Quad City Wood Turners is always open to new members coming in, and we have a lot of people that want to learn. So they come and we teach them.
You give them the opportunity. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you. Well, the Earth Day open house at Stella Sawmill is tomorrow, April 20th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. There's going to be snacks, and as we talked about here today, a lot of live demonstrations. The sawmill is located on 2nd Avenue West in Milan, Illinois, and we do have a couple of websites for you. You can contact the sawmill for your lumber needs anytime. The phone number is on your screen, along with the website stellasawmill.com, and of course, to learn more about the Quad Cities Wood Turners organization, visit qcwoodturners.org. Angie and Tyler, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us today. We really appreciate
it.
Thank you. Well, coming up next, Coal Valley's Niobe Zoo is ready to open for the season, but you can get a sneak peek at this new exhibit this weekend. We'll explain after the break.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
In a week and a half, Niobe Zoo officially opens for the season. Here to talk about what's new is Joel Vanderbush, Niobe's curator of conservation and education. Joel, welcome back.
It's good to be here again.
Yes, it's great to see you. Whenever we see you on the TV, it usually means there's something cool happening. And that is not only opening day at the zoo, but so many other things that we'll touch on here today. So, of course, Niobe is opening on April 30th, so it's coming up. But the zoo had kind of a tough winter. So we didn't get a lot of snow, but we got a lot in a matter of what, a day and a half.
Yeah.
And that really caused some problems for you guys.
Yeah, when you get like almost 2.5 feet of snow within a week, we realized that on one of our exhibits, it was about a 1,500 square foot roof, and estimated about 19,000 pounds was sitting on there, which in zoo terms is about 1.5 adult bull elephants.
Oh,
and you go,
God.
Oh, no wonder that roof fell in, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, we've had a lot of construction crews out, you know, for these past couple of months, and that will continue through the season as we continue to rebuild. And but at the same time, we do have new exhibits.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. And we're going to talk about all of that, but we just want to remind folks, if you love the zoo, which of course you should, because this is a resource that we have in our community. We have to love it. We have to take care of it. So if, you know, there are ways that people can donate to help you guys kind of get back
back
to normal.
Yep. We do have our zoo recovery fund.
Okay.
So of course, if you just go to niobezoo.com and click donate, there is a box that says specifically zoo recovery fund to help us with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so there's so much more to look forward to, as you mentioned, and that includes your conservation speaker series. Tell us about that initiative.
Well, of course, we did this in 2018 and 2019. You know, we brought 24 conservationists.
That's great.
In 24 months.
Yeah.
From all around the world. You know, it was really intense. And of course, the pandemic stopped all of that. But this year, you know, we felt we could get back on track with that. Maybe not quite as many, but you know, we can still make a great impact. So we've got three currently scheduled. We've got, of course, Dr. Travis Laverie, who's coming out tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah.
And Then we've got Dr. Greg Rasmussen from African Painted Dog Research Trust coming out in May. And then Mary Dagg is going to come out and talk about giraffes in June. So people can, of course, find that on our website, too.
There's lots to look forward to on the calendar at NIAB. So tell us a little bit about the wildlife biologist that you have coming tomorrow, because what he's talking about is very pertinent.
Oh, absolutely. So, of course, tomorrow is actually a special day for us because it's a preview day for zoo members and the prairie dog donors. So those that donated to the prairie dog exhibit also get this special invitation to come preview the exhibit before everybody else. And in doing so, we thought, hey, if we're going to be showing our prairie dogs, then we should really do some conservation talks about prairie dogs as well. And so Dr. Travis Laveri is one of the world's foremost authorities on prairie dogs and an endangered species, the black-footed ferret, and the relationship between those animals. And so he'll be there tomorrow from 9 to 10 so that guests can meet him there at the exhibit. And then at 10:30, he's going to be doing his conservation talk. And that one is actually open to the public. People can register for that. So while the preview is for zoo members and donors, the conservation speaker event is for everyone to register.
That's fabulous. So people can go online and do that. He's going to be speaking tomorrow. But again, this all ties into your new prairie dog exhibit. So tell us about the exhibit itself. It's very exciting.
Oh, yes. I mean, the first thing, of course, is you have to think about, you know, these are environmental engineers, right? Yeah. They're really prolific diggers. And so in designing that exhibit, we were like, okay, we need to make sure that the prairie dogs stay in that exhibit and don't dig under the walls. And so we designed the exhibit. It's really, you design it from the ground up, right?
Yeah, underground.
Well, we
up.
Had to think from the underground up, exactly. Yeah. We had to go deeper into the ground and then put, you know, like a mesh barrier under the ground and then fill it back in with dirt and build the exhibit on top of that so that they can't go that deep. But they can dig pretty deep tunnels. Because out in the wild, you know, they dig huge tunnel complexes that are called prairie dog towns. And we wanted them to still be able to dig lots of tunnels because they're going to live in those tunnels year round.
They're prairie dog towns.
Yeah, exactly.
How can you not love that? And there's, what, more than 30 prairie dogs?
Yeah, we have 37. We just went in there about a week and a half ago. And it was great because on that day, they just did exactly what prairie dogs are supposed to do and just started digging.
They built their town.
They just started digging tunnels like crazy. It was great.
I love that. So you guys work with a lot of endangered species at the zoo. But interestingly, prairie dogs are not on the endangered list. A lot of people kind of, there's mixed feelings on that.
Absolutely. You know, we work with 11 endangered species, both critical and just regular endangered species there at the zoo. And prairie dogs are one of those that we think they probably should be on the endangered species list because 98% of their population has been exterminated, you know, over the past 150 years of persecution against them. And that's because those animals are highly politicized and they have been nominated three different times to be put on the endangered species list, but it never comes to a vote. And this kind of falls back to the politics of prairie dogs. And it's a conservation story that really needs to be
and
told.
And people will be able to hear more about it, I'm
Absolutely.
Sure.
We have a wonderful education graphic that will be there at the exhibit, and they can read about that story, have interpreters there to learn all about that.
Okay, well, it sounds like an amazing day. And to learn more about the conservation series or to become a donor, all you have to do is visit niabizoo.com. Also, check out the event calendar because there is just a ton going on. We're off to the races, really, April 30th.
So, absolutely.
Joel,
thank
you.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
Thank you so much for coming today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, still to come in your next half hour of QCL, we'll speak to an incredible local athlete who has qualified for the Ironman World Championship. We're also headed back out to Modern Woodman Park where Kyle Keel is live talking about all the fun things planned for the River Bandits games this weekend.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
To finish Ironman Wisconsin today, Mr. Matt Jackson from East Moline, Illinois. Gonna have a big smile on his face. Put your hands together for Matt. Great job, Matt Jackson with a 9:12.58.
Amazing. From the finish line to our QCL studio, with a few months in between, of course, today we are welcoming Ironman World Championship qualifier, Matt Jackson. Matt, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to have you. I've been talking your ear off the whole commercial break, all about running and everything. It's super exciting. So congratulations on qualifying for the World Championships. We're going to get to that in just a minute, of course, but also a big congrats because you just finished the Boston Marathon on Monday.
I did.
That's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. How was it?
It was
hot.
I didn't think it was that hot. A lot of other people said they thought it was. But the hills, especially the downhills, were very, very challenging for me.
Really? Okay. Well, you did amazing. I just think it's so cool that when we have our Quad Cities folks that go out there and participate in the Boston Marathon, it really is just such a big deal. I know a lot of people around here are super proud of you for that. But of course, you are here to talk about a very big deal triathlon. So, Boston is a marathon, 26 miles, give or take a few extra steps there. But a triathlon includes a marathon. It is more than that. So I guess describe for viewers what a triathlon is.
Sure. So a full distance Ironman starts with a 2.4-mile swim and then a 112-mile bike ride and then finishes with your marathon.
Finishes with your marathon. And we just saw, you know, you crossed the finish line there in Wisconsin at just over 9 hours. So this is 9 hours of exertion. How does somebody train for something like that?
So peak weeks for me are probably around 20 hours, sometimes upwards to 25. So usually a lot of doubles, morning rides or runs before work, and then you go to work, and then you do maybe a swim or something afterwards. So you're kind of stacking workouts on top. Mm-hmm. And then the weekends are typically much bigger sessions. So riding 5-6 hours and then doing a run off the bike, something like that on a Saturday is pretty typical.
Wow. It's a lot of devotion, a lot of hard work that goes into something like this. So definitely something to be proud of. Now, when it comes to going to Kona, this is not something that you can register for. You do have to qualify, which is what just happened in the video that we watched from the fall. So this is a, you know, this is a really big deal for folks that, you know, get the invitation to go there. Now, you've been there once before, correct?
Yes.
So kind of give us the feeling, what it's like to be on a stage like that when, you know, you're an athlete that's been working toward this.
So the first time I went, I was really just happy to be there.
Yeah.
I kind of barely made the qualifying mark, I'd say. And then it was more of just participating, being in the atmosphere, being around some of my idols. Some the top pros in the world are there, and then the other top age groupers in the world are also there. So yeah, I was just kind of happy to participate. But this time, having won Ironman Wisconsin, I feel like I'm in a better position to compete when I'm there. And so ultimately my goal is to land on the podium in my age group if I can.
Oh my gosh, of course, we are all pulling for you. It's just incredible. So that is the goal. You wanna be like top five in your age group?
Top five, yeah.
That's fabulous. Okay, so going to Hawaii, competing, everything that goes along with it isn't cheap. But one thing that we do have here in the Quad Cities is a great community. And you have a great community of folks that just have been following you since you started, you know, running, competing in triathlons. And those friends are putting together a really cool event tomorrow night to get Matt to Kona. So tell us a little bit about what's planned.
So we're planning a trivia night. It's going to be at The Rock in Coal Valley. So doors will open at 5 and trivia starts at 6. We'll have raffle baskets, I think 10 or 12 of them. So
awesome.
You can buy tickets to try to win some awesome prizes from like QCM and Fleet Feet.
Yeah.
I think we have a beer basket and other things like that as well.
Which we like to recover, right?
That's
after
right.
A long run. We like to have a beer to recover. So you've got the trivia night going on. Then we're going to Kona in the fall, right?
Yep.
It's always in the fall. So once you compete in Kona and that is behind you, talk a little bit about your plans after that because you're not hanging up the running shoes.
No. I think after Kona, I plan to take my pro card and start racing professionally in 2025.
That's awesome.
I feel like I've done most of the things I'd like to do as an amateur. One was to win an Ironman, and then number two is to try to podium at Kona, so we'll kind of see how that goes, and that may affect my decision or not, but racing professionally next
that
year.
That would be awesome. And I have to say, I mean, I have to know, I guess, what you think about our running community here in the Quad Cities, because I just feel like it's so vibrant and there's just so many involved runners. Even though they're amateur, considered amateur, they're truly incredible when you think about the Phil Youngs and the Matt Jacksons and everybody. I mean, I guess, what do you think about that? And has that kind of helped you grow in your career as a runner?
Well, it's just a, I mean, it's an awesome support system, I think. And, you know, someone like Phil really motivates me when I see his Strava uploads and how fast he's running and how many miles he's logging each week.
Yeah.
Like, that motivates me, especially if I'm kind of struggling to get myself out the door.
Yeah.
I know that there's guys like him that are putting in the work consistently and kind of helps me do the same.
Yeah, motivation, inspiration. I think those are great words just to describe our community. Okay, so here is the information, because you can still sign up to join this trivia night, which is tomorrow night, Road to Kona 2.0. it's at The Rock in Coal Valley, as Matt mentioned. There is still time to register a team, $80 per team of up to 8 people. And to do that, you're gonna Venmo $80 to the account right there at the bottom of your screen at Road to Kona. Be sure to include your team name and pick a team captain and include that as well. It's gonna be a super fun night surrounded by fun, positive people. And of course, we'll be supporting Matt Jackson. Thank you so much for coming here today and good luck with everything. We'll be following along.
Thank you again for having me.
Of course. Well, still to come, we're gonna head back out to Modern Women Park where Kyle Keel is previewing a fun weekend with the QC River Bandits. We're also gonna share our wins of the week, including one of our TV6 meteorologists heading back to the classroom.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
The Quad Cities River Bandits are back home for this weekend, and there's plenty of fun in store for fans. Kyle is joining us live from Modern Woodman Park on this sunny Friday afternoon. And Kyle, first pitch is set for 6:30 tonight.
Yes, it is, Morgan. They are playing against the Peoria Chiefs not only tonight, but tomorrow as well as Sunday. And Sunday is the day that you get a chance to catch a River Bandits game for free. And that is all to say thank you to all of you who helped Modern Woodman Park become the best minor league ballpark in America. Joining me once again is River Bandits owner Dave Heller. And Dave, so much has happened in the 11 years since you last won this designation by USA Today. Talk about all that's changed.
Well, the big thing is the big thing, right? Yeah. We put in a 105-foot-tall Ferris wheel, the only one of its kind in all of baseball, the only double-decker carousel in the state of Iowa, two new thrill rides, a kids coaster. We've built an amusement park within a ballpark, a park within a park, I like to say.
And if you haven't checked it out, you have to check it out. And of course, those rides will open in May. But you got a new ride that you're introducing this year.
We do. We have actually two. Okay. We have a ride we got mid-season last year called the Frog Hopper, which is for little kids. And it goes up and down, fast and slow, and the kids love it. And we have a ride that's like NASA Space Camp.
Oh, nice. Right? Okay.
It's a little two-seater gyroscope that spins kids around upside down and sideways, and it's a blast.
That sounds like a blast. Yes. That's for sure. So obviously the game starts at 1 o'clock here. Before the game, everyone can come down, meet the players, get autographs. Kids run the bases after the game.
Right.
So if you want to get your tickets, it's first come, first serve. So if you can't get down here until 5:30, you can come tomorrow or day of, right?
That's right. You can come tonight, you can come tomorrow, or you can come Sunday. Tickets are first come, first serve, and everyone is free. Right? All courtesy of the River Bandits and Palmer Chiropractic Clinics. I hope everybody will come. I hope they'll enjoy this great game. We have a great weather for Sunday.
Yes.
Right? It's going to be about 65 and sunny. It should be a fantastic day. Get here early, meet the players, get an autograph bat, get an autograph ball, get a picture. Have a great time.
All right, Dave Heller, sounds like a great time indeed, and I'm sure all the fans appreciate the opportunity for a free game. All the information there is on your screen, and hopefully, Dave mentioned, the weather's looking a little bit better here, a little windy out here today as the Bandits are practicing for their game tonight. And meteorologist Kyle Dickens joins us now for a final look at that forecast.
Fireworks tonight after the game.
Hey, there you go, fireworks too, so hey, who cares about the wind? Come watch the fireworks.
Right.
And the Bandits win.
There you go.
That's
just
right.
Just take a light jacket.
Free hat giveaway tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Appreciate it, guys. Well, hey, take a light jacket with you if you're heading out tonight. It's going to be a little chilly, but still pretty nice. Those winds will start to die down. 50 degrees tomorrow as we get into the weekend here. Yeah, it's going to be a little chilly, but plenty of sunshine. We do turn active once we get to next week, and temperatures return to the 60s. And I can tell you, by the end of the 7 day, might even see some 70s.
I always chasing those 70s.
Yes, 85 last week. Oh, my gosh.
It was crazy. That was
a taste of summer.
Yep. All right, well, it is time now for our wins of the week. So we want to head back out to Kyle really quickly to hear what his win of the week was. Kyle, what can you tell us?
Yeah, so my win of the week, it was on Tuesday, the day of the severe weather, but it wasn't because of the severe weather. I actually had planned for the last couple of months. We've mentioned it a few times on Quad Cities Live. I went out to Eastern Iowa Community College at the West Davenport Center to talk to a group of people about severe weather and severe weather awareness. I was out there at noon, and then as we were kind of wrapping up our talk about tornadoes, people were getting alerts on their phone about the tornado watch. So that
Very
was just
timely.
Kind of ironic, but they had some great questions, and we had a great, hour-long session on severe weather awareness. So that's my win of the week.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much, Kyle. And Kyle.
Yeah, well, actually going to kind of piggyback off that. It's, we don't want to call it a win because we had some people who lost their homes, but definitely a success, I think, was that nobody got killed and there were actually really no injuries with the severe weather that we saw on Tuesday. And I think from the weather service all the way down, all the TV stations, and really was well-warned and well-communicated.
Yeah. So you guys did a great job with it.
Yes, it was
hard to compliment yourself, so I will do it for you guys.
That. Thank you.
And you guys did a fabulous job.
Yes, and you guys did, you and Sharon as well, being out here helping, give
Hanging
us
out.
Information.
Yeah.
So, yes,
hanging out behind the scenes. Between Kyle and Kyle, my win of the week is going to sound like a little less serious, but it is a win nonetheless. Okay, so we're going to put up a photo. Don't be grossed out. It's a McDonald's pickles and a McDonald's wrapper. My daughter's grandma was kind enough to take her to dance and to McDonald's yesterday, and she gave grandma pickles and said, "Grandma, will you please save these for my mommy because she loves pickles?" So she delivered to me when I got her at 6:30 last night, my pickles that she saved for me. And that's my win of the week because, I mean,
you know what?
How gross, but how sweet.
It's sweet. Kids are awesome, aren't they?
They are awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for watching. Your local news at 4 is up next.